think it's good morning. Good morning. You got me? It's great to see you all. My name is Bob. I'm not Steve. I'm not Eric. I'm an elder here at this church, and with Steve away again this week, he asked me if I would speak to you all this morning on what will be an interesting topic for us in the book of Acts. So before we go there, let me just give you a quick update on who I am. I'm a guy living at home without my wife right now because she's on a missions trip overseas. She left with this group that went to Riga, Latvia, 2 weeks ago, this coming Wednesday. Thank you all for those who stopped by to see them off. She sends me notes of encouragement every day as I do the same for her. And it's interesting, having been with this same woman for probably close to 50 years now total, but 44 years of marriage this year, I can't believe how much I need her day to day. So all that is enough about me, but just to say the group is doing really well. They are exhausted. They had their church service already this morning, and the way that Steve put it in a text to me, things went great over there. So be encouraged. Keep praying for them. They do start traveling. Let's see, this day they have wrap-up meetings, and tomorrow they have a free day, which I hope they can get some relaxation in, which might include some more sleep, according to my wife. And then they'll be back on Wednesday afternoon, so keep praying for them. Trying to see if that's all I had. Yeah, we're in this series of messages called World Changers, and thanks for putting the slide up there, tech team. I looked up online to see who might we consider to be world changers. And the list that came up was from 2025. And listen to these names who they said would be world changers last year. Familiar names, I think, to us. Names like Zelensky, Musk, Beyonce, and Biles. There were many others there. Many others we would consider to be world-changing or changing some worlds. Interesting that today in our Bible reading, we also run across four names, and I just chose four from the list of 2025. We'll see four names. Names like Joseph, who had a nickname of Barnabas. There's a name, Ananias, that's there. There's the name Sapphira that's there. And there's a name, Peter, which we've heard before in this book of Acts. The book of Acts is about people in places doing things. People, ordinary people. People in places that may be ordinary, they may be extraordinary, but in situations where God has placed them, that they need his power. And I will tell you this morning, I'm no world changer, but I need his power here this morning. So if you don't mind, I'd like to pray briefly for us as we listen to God's word today. Father, we ask that you would be with me and the rest of us. We don't know what kind of world we're going to change or what even you have for us in this day, but we pray that as we've already sung this morning, it would be your Holy Spirit that leads us. We love you. We pray you, pray to you, and we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. According to Acts 1:8, we've been called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ to whatever world we're called to. Could be Latvia. It could be Lima. It could be Livonia. It could be right here in Victor. We're going to be in Acts chapter 5. So if you would, turn there. Remember, if you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew right in front of you. You can just grab it right out from underneath the chair in front of you. Ask permission if you're going to reach across or go across aisles to grab one. I don't mean reach, around somebody. Just grab it. Grab their Bible. No, there's plenty of them there. If you don't have one, you don't have one at home, put your name in it. Take it home with you. Bring it back next week. Learn the Word of God with us and at home. A I hesitate because, as I shared with a couple people this morning, I had a hard time thinking how I was going to present this message today. So encouraged by the worship team first thing in the morning and the songs, and they're just words together with me. Because the overall theme of this section of the scripture, and we're going to actually start reading from Acts 4, verse 32. So if it says Acts 5, that's true. That's going to be our main part, but we have to start in Acts 4, verse 32. The theme of this section is holiness and integrity. And as I shared with a coworker who is a believer, I said, there's nothing like speaking on a subject like holiness and integrity and be challenged in holiness and integrity every day. It's like when you pray for patience and you have opportunities to show how impatient you are or show how you're lacking in that area. I have prayed to God all week about holiness and integrity in my own life, including late last night crying out to God as I'm modifying this message one more time, hopefully, and saying, God help me. It's the night before I have to stand in front of this body of believers. So if you're already in Acts 4, or at least in Acts 5, where you can find where we're going to be, let me first give you an illustration of my own life and talk about for a moment my grandson Jack, who, by the way, if you want to see pictures of him, there will be one coming, but I have several in my phone if you want to see him. We get to see Jack all the time. He lives locally. His mom and dad, my son and daughter-in-law, love to bring him over, and somehow he is attracted to both of us. Me, because I'm fun, and my wife, because she likes to cook noodles and make cookies. One day when we were going to be watching them as mom and dad were going out for a while, Jack came in with a board game. We didn't even know he knew what board games were. And the board game is called Aggravation. Now, if you don't know what Aggravation is, the board game, it's kind of like a combination of Sorry and Chinese checkers. That is, you need to start somewhere and you need to get home. And it's a great game. And I thought, wow, he wants to sit down for a board game. He's 4 years old. That looks like fun. So there we were playing aggravation, rolling the dice. And he's moving around the board and we're talking and he's goofing off a little bit. And every once in a while, he'd get distracted. And instead of going and counting the right way, he'd go, 1, 2, 3, where was I? Oh, yeah, that. 5, 8, 9. And I said, Jack, there's only 6 spaces on the die. Or you can, oh, I'm sorry, Papa. And he'd go back, where am I supposed to be? And we're having a lot of fun with it, though. There were other times, though, as he saw our reaction, that he would go 1, 2, 3, and go cross, you know, like spaces, and trying to move ahead too quickly. And my wife or I would look at him and go, Jack, come on now. I go, okay, Papa, okay, Oma, and we would move him to the right place or he would move to the right place. The thing was, though Jack was playing games with us, we knew he was playing games with us. We knew he was not being serious to the course that he was taking. And he took the course correction well while we were there. That is an illustration to this story that we see today. Do we have a picture of Jack up there or not? There he is. Did we see him? I got to tell you about this day, which is the same day we played aggravation. He would stand in front of the sign because he believed that if he stood behind the sign, that's where the unauthorized persons would be. So it was hilarious. Papa, what does this say? And then he said, what does that mean? It also says unauthorized vehicles will be removed. So he thought, if long as I stay at the sign in front of it, I'm still good. Again, a good illustration for today. All right, next slide here. Where are we? Holiness and integrity. We're going to read through, or I'm going to read, and hopefully we're all going to pay attention, starting at chapter 4, verse 32 in Acts, because this sets us up for the scene that comes in Acts 5, verse 1. So hope you're in your Bibles already. I'm looking at the time to see where we're at. Great. Acts 4, verse 32, I'll be reading in the New Living Translation. It says, pay attention to the words. All the believers were of one heart and mind. And Pastor Eric did a great job explaining what this meant last week. All the believers were of one heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. Note the word all there. That means everybody, one heart and mind, not diverse hearts, not affections towards anything else or any other purpose, but just to that purpose. They felt what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had. And the apostles, now remember, the apostles were the founders, the foundation of the church, you might say. They gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's great favor, that means grace, was upon them all. I've said before, all means all, and that's all means. It's what it means in all the seven translations that I looked at. It was everybody was on board. God was moving in power. Verse 34, there was no poverty among them because people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. I could just see the rainbows and unicorns. It sounds so good. Everybody was, it doesn't mean everybody was selling property because some people didn't have property, but it meant that everybody was on board to what God was doing in that place, and it was powerful. Here's an example. It says in verse 36 in this version, for instance, there was Joseph, the one of the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles for those in need. He had the means, he had the ability, he had the heart to say, I'm going to give this to the church, to God and the people of that church. Now we're going to begin in verse 5. There was also, meaning a contrast, there was also a man named Ananias. Oh, I remember the last time I was up here, I believe I maybe have spoken on Ananias. Let's realize there are three people in the Bible mentioned with the name Ananias. One is here, Acts chapter 5. The second one is the man that met up with the apostle Paul. He was Saul then. And to talk to him, God sent him. And I know Pastor Steve, I believe, not many weeks ago, had talked about that Ananias. There was also, and we'll see him later in chapter maybe 22 or 23 in the book of Acts, that Ananias is the name of the, the priest, high priest, of the temple in Jerusalem at that time. So let's realize that we're talking about this Ananias with his wife Sapphira, who had also, I'm on 5 verse 1, sold some property. He, that is Ananias, brought part of the money to the apostles, part, but he claimed it was the full amount. His wife had agreed to this deception. Then Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. Pretty serious charge, right? Verse 5, as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor, and what does it say? And he died. That's pretty serious. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Yeah. How many here are hearing this for the first time today, this verse? I remember reading this years ago, I was shocked. It was shocking to me even this week. Then some young men wrapped him in a sheet and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, Was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. I've heard of standing by your man, but maybe this wouldn't have been a great time to do that. That's an old country song, by the way. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of doing a thing like this, conspiring together to test the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord? Just outside that door are the young men who buried your husband, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, verse 10 says, she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Somebody say, wow. Wow. Great fear gripped the entire church and all others who heard what had happened. We pause just to go, okay, Bob, how are you going to handle this morning? Does this punishment seem severe to you? And I don't expect an answer back. It's okay. It seems severe. Let's talk honestly. It is severe from a human point of view. Why was it so severe? What was it that Ananias and Sapphira did? What led up to this for God to say, these people have to die? This is a very touchy subject, isn't it? I'm so glad Steve is away this morning. No, I wish he were here. First, we have to know this. God can make a strong proclamation, a proclamation in word or action at one point in time to be remembered and applied as a principle at all points in time. This is what we could call a strong proclamation or action. Even though the Holy Spirit had come, even though the Holy Spirit was changing lives of believers, becoming a Christian doesn't make us immune to temptation. Ephesians 6:11 and 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan is lurking about trying to take us down. Now, that's not the way the Bible says it, but that's the way I'm going to say it this morning. Those powers are called mighty powers of darkness. It's called a lion waiting to tear us apart. I think with those kind of words that we should pay attention to what's going on here today. When anyone sets out to be a world changer, the opposition might take that up as a challenge. Whether it's in politics, whether it's in business, whether it's in music, whether it's in sports, whether it's in the church, you will be tested. Especially in the area, I will say, of personal holiness and integrity. How do we not stumble then? That's where I'm going to spend the rest of my time as I'm looking at the time. How are we going to prevent ourselves from falling into the same thing? Number one, there's going to be four main ideas here. The first one is God cares about our heart. By heart, I mean, it's condition and intention. Not that God is a cardiologist, but he can be. He made our hearts. But he can look into our hearts, see what's there. That is, our affections, our passions. And he can determine whether we have the right motives or not. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search all houses. Yeah. I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to the actions they deserve. In Matthew 12, Jesus had words for the Pharisees. Remember, the Pharisees were the religious mucky-mucks, you might say, at the time. He didn't always like their motives. He called them a brood of vipers in highlighting their evil intentions. He said, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Ananias and Sapphira didn't have the same heart of unity and wholeness like the others had that were just described at the end of chapter 32. But selfishness and disunity ruled their hearts. God cares about our heart, your heart, my heart. How we interact is not merely external. It originates from the heart's abundance or overflow. And we even sang about that this morning. When David was caught in sin, his words recorded in Psalm 51, verse 10 said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Just saying that too. That repentance, that turning to God again, is key to getting back on track with Him. What else can we learn here? First, we learned that God cares about our heart. Repentance is the key. Second thing, hypocrisy damages our witness. And the reason it damages our witness, that is our witness of God, our witness of a believer in Christ, it makes us or God seem insincere or untrustworthy. Ananias and Sapphira, apparently wanting to fit in and seem spiritual, sold their property, but agreed to keep secret the chunk for themselves. As Ananias brought the money to the apostles, Peter asked, are you sure, pretty much? Is this the total amount for the land? In my reading of this several times over, it's like, are you really sure this is the way you want to go with this? And Ananias said, yes, and dropped dead right there. When Sapphira arrived later and she was asked the same thing, again, was there opportunity for repentance? She agreed with the deception and she fell dead like her husband. This is different. This wasn't, this is going to sound bad. Has anybody here lied before? I'll be the first to raise my hand. I've lied before. Somehow, this was different in God's eyes. Because those of you brave enough to raise your hands, and I will say, since the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, there must be times where God says, this is too sad, devastating to the church for it to go on, and I need to intervene to deal with it. When Joshua was leading the children of Israel to take Jericho, they were told, don't take anything from Jericho. And there was a family, the family of Achan, A-C-H-A-N, that disobeyed God at that time. And God took out Achan and his family. I'm not saying this is how God operates all the time. I'm just saying there's precedent in the Bible. When God sees the work He's going to do crumbling, when God sees disease entering the camp of what He wants to get done, He will stop it. I asked God this morning, I said, God, if you don't want me to talk like this, take me out. I mean this sincerely. But we can take sin too casually. God knows sin stinks. And I'm so glad we can study this rather than have to demonstrate Acts chapter 5 this morning. The word hypocrite is used in the Bible. Jesus used it for the Pharisees. You see the definition up there? I think I had one. It's an actor under an assumed character. But hypocrisy, to be judged so severely, must be describing something than occasional missteps. When somebody claims to believe one thing but continually and apologetically, unrepentantly practices another, they can be accurately be described as hypocritical. This definition isolates them. It isolates the intentional behavior, and it should be judged by God. And in that reason, hypocrisy damages our witness of Christ in the world. In John, I should say, 1 John 2:6, it says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You know, I can't change the world. I don't know that I should. But I would love to be able to walk with holiness and integrity in my home, in my workplace, in my church. So each of us must look after our own walk and open up our lives to God. Third point, and I'm going to move along here. The third point is, my hand is getting tired. Reverence for God matters. These are big points this morning. I wrote down for myself, he's still the only God. And how we respond is key. We can't play games with God. When we use the term, don't play with me, don't play games with me, usually implies that somebody's not being straightforward with us. It may be deceptive, evasive, or manipulative, often to achieve a personal goal or confuse the other person. In a relationship, it usually signals a discourse. It evokes honesty. Here's a key point this morning. The sin Ananias and Sapphira committed wasn't a stinginess or holding back part of the money. It was their choice whether or not to sell the land and how much to give. Their sin was intentional, pre-planned, lying to God and God's people, saying when they gave the whole amount and holding back some for themselves and trying to make themselves appear more generous than they really were. By this action, they demonstrated a small view of God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. These emphasize the importance of worshiping God with the reverence he deserves for the greatness that he is. And I'm going to point four of, yes, four. The church is called to purity. And I've added in my own notes, and that doesn't mean perfection. The Bible clearly teaches that the church, as the body of Christ, is called to holiness. The church is called to moral integrity. The church is called to spiritual purity. This is both an individual and a corporate responsibility because it's rooted in God's own holiness. God's judgment of Ananias and Sapphira produced shock and fear among the believers, and it should have, making them realize how seriously God regards sin. The writer of Hebrews, as I discovered this week, says that we could thank God for that. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And the image of fire in the Bible is often used for a purifying, smelting precious metal like gold or silver, taking out the things that shouldn't remain but purifying. But I will say, if 24 karat gold is the purest it can be, then 22 karat is a pretty expensive ring, isn't it? We will not be perfect. Let's look quickly at the text in Acts 3. Speaking of someone that could be considered impure, Peter. Peter's known for many things in the Bible. Acts chapter 3 says that Peter was the one who actually... Thank you for that reminder, Lord. Peter was the vessel of God's judgment. You remember what Peter was known for? Denying Christ three times. Of the many things that he's known for, he denied Christ three times. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 16, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The passage emphasizes the church's holiness is a reflection of God's character. And that must be our call in the world. Worship team, why don't you come up, if you would, please. God has called us to be separate, different. Not that we should remove ourselves from the world, but set aside for a different purpose. It's essential to his mission and his purposes. God knows I'm not perfect. God knows you're not perfect. Psalm 103, verse 14 says, he knows we're just made from dust. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says that we have this hope, the hope of Christ, in earthen vessels. We cannot be as holy as Jesus was and is. But that does not give us a pass for not being called to be like him. He's been there. He's done that. And he can tell when we're trying to play games with him. The big idea today is going to be, you can't fake authenticity before God. God is searching for ordinary people with an imperfect past, an imperfect present. He will supply His Holy Spirit to guide and lead and direct you, as He does all of us. He provides extraordinary power to do extraordinary things for His glory and for His global impact, wherever that world that He calls us to is. That's been His plan from the start. It's going to be His plan tomorrow morning when we get up again. The question is, will we follow that plan? And I'm going to pray briefly, and then we're going to sing together with the worship team. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray for that guidance then, because as we just learned once more, we can't do this on our own. We need You, and we need You desperately. So we ask that You would lead our paths, guide our steps towards holiness and integrity. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.